So about 2 weeks ago, I was in Sunday school. Steve's not in the room right now, but let him know I mentioned him. Okay, and he comes up and he happens to be going through Romans 8 talking about God our Father. And about 3 days, and it really moved in me some new things about that. Okay, God our Heavenly Father. Okay, you've been in church long enough, you want to do what? Right, and that's the problem with it. We don't get it. We set it aside like it's some kind of little token thing. Okay? You know, we talk about do not take the Lord's name in vain. Well, the vanity right now in our humanity is stuff like, well, everybody's God's child. How in the world you can say that and read the Bible? I don't have a clue. But those kind of things that people are saying all the time. Everybody's God's child. Good gracious, what happened to the narrow gate and the wide gate? Was he just teasing? So not everybody is God's child, and the idea of being God's child is big. Tell us how big, Steve.
It's really, really big.
Come on. It's radical was the word this morning. It's radical. It's supernatural. It's so big it'll get you crucified 2,000 years ago. It's so big today it'll get you ostracized. You go in talking about the real gospel, you get to visit the principal, from what I understand. You go in and talk about Harry Potter all you want to. You win the literary award. But you know what? I'm glad about that because Harry Potter has no eternal saving value. There must be something special about the name of Jesus and what He gives us with this idea of a Heavenly Father. I am excited about it, the newness of this for me these last 2 weeks. I'm excited because I believe the Lord is in this word today, at least for me, because somehow it came up in Steve's Sunday school 2 weeks ago, as I told you, 3 days before JD ever mentioned that I might be speaking today. It's as if God knew what He wanted to say. I pulled out a favorite outline of mine about using the Word of God in prayer and confidently took that out at my study area, knowing I would go over it again with you today. I don't like to do theme sermons. Like if it's Father's Day, I'd want to do something different, okay? But it became very apparent that I was supposed to deal with this. God, my Heavenly Father. So I started an outline, some of it coming from Sunday school. By the way, if you want to grow your faith, come to Bible study. Come to Sunday school. We had a nice crowd there today. We had 19 in the adult class, Steve. But I counted the chairs. We had 65 empty chairs. So just come on over. We got plenty of room. Somebody put out coffee cake as well. Not that that should lure you in to Sunday school, but it was there as well. And I'm telling you, this is what Sunday school did for me. Just these last 2 weeks, I'm supposed to preach. I don't know what I'm going to preach on. And it's as if God in Sunday school goes, Ed, psst, look at this. Now look at this. Now look at this radical part that I'm going to tell you about today. So let's take a look at the outline. There's, what is that? Five points on it, cleverly known as A, B, C, D, and E. The first thing I want to stress today is this idea of God being our Father is unbelievable. It's phenomenal. It's any other word you could think of. It's radical was the word that came up today. It's an unbelievable decision implemented and empowered and sustained by God. Second part there, part B, God chooses you. At this point, I think I was taking dictation. I asked this morning, Lord, what do you want me to say? What I didn't say it that way. I said, what do you want to say to us? And here's what came out. I am God. I choose to be your Father. I choose you as my child. You are mine forever and will never be cast out. All right, this is as big as it can be. You can't blow up the Father of God any bigger than it is. It's meant to be huge. It's meant to be overpowering in our lives. It's meant to solve every question and every problem you have. In part C, I was continuing to write what I believe God was dictating. This idea, this amazing fatherhood, this adoption by God, this dispensation of grace is meant to blast all issues of earthly, fleshly fatherhood. To triumph over all parental failings and to arm your mind, the mind of each of my children, with a sword of divine power with which they are to free themselves from fleshly, self-centered, crippling beliefs. By the way, I put fatherhood relating to us as humans in quotation marks, meaning there's all kinds of versions of fatherhood in our life. Amen? We have biological fathers. I could ask for a show of hands. I know we'd get two or three that have never met their biological father. Okay? We have adopted fathers. We have stepfathers. We have foster fathers. And we have fathers we picked up along the way. Men, and really when you see fathers, you also, it can be extended into parenthood as well. So however those terms apply, that's one reason I put fatherhood in quotes a couple of times, just to remind myself God is speaking to whatever your situation of fatherhood is. Both you as a father and you as having fathers. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I'm sure most of you in here had fathers. Thank you. I got two laughs and Cannon raised his hand. Good. Okay, now this side's starting to get it. All right, good. Please pay attention there and see. God has meant this to blast away. God's meant this to do something. God's meant this to set you free. From what? From your past. From all the hoodah and doodah that's going to be after you mentally because of the way you were raised. Even if you were raised as the very best, by the very best earthly father or by the very worst. I had a long list of stuff about what fathers do, mostly right, some of it right, a lot of it wrong. I didn't put it in here. It's not worthwhile. But let's say we could start with the best one we had. He was fantastic. And maybe the worst one we have, we could use the word terrible or terror. But somewhere in there, all of us as earthly fathers have plunked down at different times in our life. None of us has been perfect. None of us is eternal. None of us is able to save. None of us has anything that's required or necessary in a heavenly father. That's why God, as your heavenly father, is able to blast all that other earthly father stuff away if you let him. Part D, you're not letting him. We need to view our earthly father through the lens of God, my heavenly father. I do not need to view God through the lens of my experience with my earthly parenting. Do you follow? Otherwise, you're looking backwards. Backwards doesn't cut it. I wrote that down just so I'd remember to say it. It's kind of a John Wayne line. Backwards doesn't feed the bulldog. But, you don't know how I was treated. You don't know this. You don't know that. We're headed to that, and I'm going to help you with that. If you've got the guts to take it. Part E, I need to do it. Do something. Those famous words of Jerry Clower, our Southern comedian. I'm looking at Natasha because I'm sure she's up on her Jerry Clower jokes. This will be several colloquialisms tied together. Okay? We need to do something. Our thoughts hold us captive. They cause us to believe things that don't agree with God. They cause us to live in the flesh, stay in the flesh, remain in the flesh. They cause us to act out as a father or a mother the very way we said we wouldn't. They're liars. They're cheating you. That's why I sound angry. I'm not angry at you. I love you. But I'm angry at anything that would steal from you. And I'm angry at watching it steal from you year after year after year. And those of you that I've had the guts to push on a little bit will resist back and tell me I'm not ready yet. What are you waiting on? Shoot up in here amongst us. One of us has got to have some relief. You ought to be before God saying, I don't understand it. I'm having trouble believing it. But shoot up in here amongst my thoughts. I've got to have some relief. No, I'd just rather suffer. Well, okay. But you are making that choice. God chooses you. But how you work your sanctification does have something to do with you. So there's the 5 points of the outline. Can't ever get the clock to work. Now the flashlights. And I can't turn the flashlight off because my security's on. A toddler could turn my flashlight off, but I can't. A toddler could lock me out of my phone and send two adults headed to the Verizon store to try to get their phone back. But I can't turn my flashlight off. Oh. I'm going to get that old timer that you twist. And y'all can be comforted. You'll hear if you're going tick, tick, tick. How many more ticks? All right, now, what I did was those 5 points down there below the line, I expanded them a little with Scripture. I will speak to that as long as time allows. We will look at those Scriptures. After that, you can do with this what you feel necessary. At the bottom, there is a prayer that I wrote, which I would love, and I am enjoying praying this baby out loud. I am preaching it to myself. How many times? How much Rocky Road do you like? How many spoonfuls of Rocky Road do you want? And this isn't even fattening. Just turns you loose. You're kind of wild in the spirit. So that's a prayer down there. I'd recommend praying it out loud, repetitiously and intentionally. All right, now below the line, let's go to section A. We're going to talk about this unbelievable, phenomenal, radical idea of God calling us His children. We're going to go to John chapter 5. Steve has pointed out now several weeks in Sunday school, the amazing thing about the Lord Jesus is by the second chapter, I believe it is, of John, well, almost as soon as he starts talking, he's talking about God being his Father. We've heard that so much 2,000 years later that we assume that's normal conversation. Steve, was it normal conversation for a Jew to say, God is my Father? No, if you said it, you'd wind up crucified. It was the worst blasphemy you could come up with. It was what? The 10th century before a Orthodox type Jewish person ever wrote, God is my Father, I think you told us. It was a big deal. Now we've dumbed it down like we've dumbed down a lot of things to where people actually have the guts, even pagans actually have the guts to say, God's my Father. Honey, you can fool yourself. And sometimes you can fool those around you. But you never, never, never will fool God. So this is a big deal. I would like us to get more excited about it. One reason is because it's meant to solve any issue you've got. It's meant to solve any issue you've got. It's meant to solve any issue you've got. How can God say, if I'm in Christ, I'm a new creature, when I've suffered all this? It's meant to solve any issue you've got. He's given us a means with which to deal with our past, and He's given us a hope for the future that is eternal. And I can't remember all those things, but it can't be stolen, it can't be taken away, I can't lose it, and you know all that. I have it written down on my phone, but I don't want to take the time to try to find it. The flashlight will come on again. All right. So, let's look. 5:18. In case you missed this, I don't know, again, they're out there stomping around saying, Jesus never said He was God. Not only did He say He was God, He said it in the face of those that it would anger. Read 5:18 for me, somebody, please. Go. Go, Benny. Loud. You're doing good. Go on. In their society, it was clear if you called yourself the Son of God, you were calling yourself God. That's the way it worked. I understand that's not the way it is in our society, but we have to interpret the Bible based on who it was written to and when it was written. All right, so here He's saying something that is as controversial as it can be. He couldn't have said anything else to them bigger or more important. He's saying that to you today. He's connecting the dots. God is His Father, and He's fixing to tell you. Let's turn to Matthew 6. Marty, bless your heart. Matthew 6. We had some Bible study out of camp. Marty got fired up by one word. Come on, folks, think about that. Are you studying the Bible enough? If a grown man of his weight, excuse me, stature, and well, I meant stature and age. If a grown man of his stature and age could get excited about one three-letter word, could feed off of it all day long. But see, you have to know the heart of God, and you have to study the Bibles and ask the Holy Spirit to share something with you. And here it came. 6:9. What does it say? Right.
And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven.
Thank you. Jesus extended it from God being His Father to God being our. One three-letter word, our. Here's the problem. I don't get it. You're not desperate enough. You're going to sit in your flesh or whatever it is you're believing about yourself, and you're not going to take the remedy, which is God being your Father, and use it to fix stuff. Well, I don't know. The remedy might be too radical. If I took the remedy, I'd have to give up my precious. No, I mean, because of the way I was treated, you know, as a child, anytime I need to, I can quit. Anytime I need to, I can stay in the bed for 4 days. Anytime I need to, I can overspend. I can self-medicate. I can be angry at my husband, excuse me, or wife or whatever. I could act out, in other words. All that is acting in the flesh. Okay. It's understandable. We get that. That's how we got there. And God's going, I know how you got there. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Your parents did sin and come short of the glory of God. I know all of that, but I have the remedy here. But to grab that remedy means giving something up. but it's something that's not of nearly as much value as we think it is. I'd have to give up myself. Yeah. Wouldn't that be cool? Most everybody who knows me today, even if they don't remember, is glad that Ed gave up the Ed of 30 years old. Okay, where am I? We're in John. And look back over to the left in chapter 5, verse 45. So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Okay, remember we just read a verse where he's calling himself the Son of God and the Jews are saying what? That's blasphemy. That's the same as saying you're God. Now he's extended and said, even you little guys, or what? See, they're just sitting there looking like pork chops in a meat counter. Come on, you better get a hold of this. You're a child of God. Because stuff's going to come into your life that's going to try to beat you down. For you to be able to say no when you need to say no, you need to recognize early, I'm a child of God. I don't have to put up with that. I'm not going there. I'm not going to continue to have pity parties because of fleshly stuff. Instead, I'm going to take that fleshly stuff and in obedience to God, I'm going to turn it over to God in the way He says to turn it over to Him. And instead, I'm going to receive the fact that I belong to God. I'm a child of God. Well, you don't deserve it. Don't have to deserve it. It's a free gift. You're not worthy of it. Don't have to be worthy of it. Jesus was worthy of it. And I am ice Christ. I am into Christ. I'm in there. What's that? Can't get me, can't get me. Well, don't tell me that's a 70s song, was it? Anyway, I'm into Christ. I'm hidden, Colossians says. I'm hidden with Christ. You can't get me. You can't get me. The devil can call, but I won't go. Woo! How about that? All right, let's see how we get there. He's our Father. Say that. He's our Father. Now, try to be a little bolder. He's my Father. Now, that's hard to do, but you need to. I'll show you again why deeper here in a minute. We're not going to go to Matthew 16:16, but that's where Peter recognizes, whoa, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. So I don't get it, Ed. Well, then pray for the Holy Spirit to share with you the reality of God being your Heavenly Father. Pray for that. Let's go to Luke 6. All right, we're going to get to a work it. I like this one, so I wanted to share it with you. Sometimes we don't notice this part of Luke 6. All right, look, now this preacher that you happen to be stuck with today is walking up in front of you the best he can. He's proven to some minor little human extent that he at least cares about you, amen? And you hopefully have remembered to pray for him this week, and even if you haven't, hopefully somebody else has. And so he's standing before you saying, do this, get after God being your Heavenly Father. Quit staying in the flesh about how you've suffered as a kid. Get over those pity parties. Change that view. Decide you're wonderful. Decide you belong to God. Decide you're fearfully, wonderfully made. I'm telling you these things. Let's look at Luke 6, 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? So what's going to be your reason today for going, that was a wonderful sermon, Ed. I thought you were a little loud, or I thought you went a little long, or the jokes were funny, or that was just wonderful. But you go right out of here not doing anything with it. Well, he talked for 40 minutes, but he only said 5 minutes worth of stuff. Then what are you doing with that 5 minutes worth of stuff? No, he found some way to ignore it too. Watch that. Your flesh doesn't want this stuff. Your flesh doesn't want God to be your Father, Because in reality, for God to be your Father, you've figured out and reckoned yourself dead to the flesh. So your flesh is not a proponent of good preaching. But God, your Heavenly Father, is saying, psst, you want freedom? Then start reckoning your flesh dead and reckon yourself alive in the Spirit. And watch what I can do in you. All right. Now, how am I going to do that? Well, what I like about this version in Luke, let's read on. Everyone who comes to me, well, you could come to Christ, amen. If you haven't, be sure you have. You could hear His word. It's been here today. Have you heard it? And then you could do something with it. And He says, if you do those things, I'll show you what you're like. You're like a man who's building a house who, this I think is the only version of this, where He says, who dug deep. You have to dig deep today. He dug deep and He laid a foundation on the rock. And when the floods came and the rains came and the winds came, the house didn't fall. But if you hear these words and don't do them, you're like a man who builds his house on the sand. And the floods come and the rains come and the winds come and the house falls, and great is the fall thereof. Dig deep, He says in Luke. Where? Where? Okay. Where? I think we use the Word of God, and I think we dig deep in our own thoughts and beliefs to make them begin to agree with God. Well, you're just brainwashing yourself. Exactly. If you want to use that term kind of as a sort of a derogatory term, which somehow, if you grew up in the communist era, that automatically gives you an excuse not to listen. God doesn't say that. He does, however, say, wash your mind. He does, however, say, receive the engrafted word, not just some intellectual word that flew by you, but engrafted word. And He does say in Romans 12, renew your mind. So there's plenty of precedent there. And I'm suggesting to you to come up with this, the most radical of His concepts, which is Almighty God as my Father, takes some digging deep in my thoughts and some building. Amen? It doesn't just come natural. We've had bad experiences with our earthly father or some kind of tragedy that's happened, and it blocks us from moving forward. And those very things we then carry into our relationship, and somehow they grow another crop of hurt and confusion. Or we get excited about the fact that God knows that, and He gives us this, I want to say hand grenade, but it's a lot bigger than a hand grenade, which you can throw it. It's a bomb. It is. It's a big bomb. I want to, but now that we have a president named Trump, this is a hard example for me to use. It is the trump card in the spiritual battle. It is the trump card in the spiritual battle. It's been given to you, but you're not playing it. Oh, Mr. Collins, what are trumps again? See what I'm saying? It's there. Some of us even intellectually know that it's there, but we're not playing it. The trump card is God is your Father. Again, I'm not trying to go political. In fact, I want to talk to you about, please quit going so political. But if President Trump was your daddy, things would be different, wouldn't they? Something would be a little bit different about your life. I'm not saying I'd want that, but so if God is your daddy, something ought to be God is your dad, something ought to be different. If it's not, then you're missing something. you're being cheated out of it, or you're talking yourself out of it. I harassed some of you this morning, and I still heard that phrase. I'm not there yet. I'm going, how are you? You're telling me, I'm good. I'm okay. I'm saying, come on, come on. Tell me wonderful. Thank you, Victoria. See, it's a fun word to say, right? Then I get an argument. Well, that's not the truth. All right, I get it. Circumstances may not be good right now, but the reality is, what trump card has God given you? You are His child by choice. So therefore, no matter what's going on here, you are, yeah, you're fearfully and wonderfully created. But my life is miserable right now. Well, in the spiritual sense, it will stay that way until I convert. I love you guys. Please don't be mad at me. All right, let's look. Dig deep. Build a foundation. Also notice in everybody's life there's what? Storms, rains, and winds. It's almost as if Jesus was saying, in this life you'll have tribulation. Or in this world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. All right, good. We're down to part B. It's God's choice. Oh, Lordy, here's the big scripture. This is the one we were supposed to spend a half an hour on. I got a feeling I don't have a half an hour left. Quick, quick, go fast. Verse 12 of Romans 8. Listen, right in verse 12, right in verse 12. Your debtors what? Not to the flesh. To what? To live according to the flesh. But you don't know how to quit talking, quit thinking about how you were raised. Quit thinking about all the bad breaks. If you're in a bad situation right now as a young person, you're being mistreated, get out of there. Call somebody. But that's probably not the case. You only have a few young people sitting in here. Everybody else, I'm sure, has left mom and dad behind. Amen, Betty? Okay, so now all I got to do is deal with the memories of that. The mess-ups of that. I'm not going to deal with them if I use it to feed my flesh. Didn't he just say that? Now see, we think he's talking about some kind of Hollywood sin. And since I'm not committing adultery, I must be clear. Since I'm not stealing, I'm doing pretty good. But the real battle, as far as God's concerned, is what goes on between our ears. It's the things we believe that affects our heart, and ultimately it affects our will. And then we act out in ungodly ways, even if it's just silently, even if it's just the expression on my face. I deny the glory of God by looking pifficated. I throw that in on behalf of my father, Earl Messer. One of his favorite words. Of course, it goes on. A couple of other things I wanted you to see. Look at verse 13. If you keep on doing that, if you keep on living according to the flesh, you will die. But I can't do anything about it. Look, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, whose body? Your own and those who offended against you. Forgive the guy. Forgive the woman. Sign off. Frequency change approved. Have a good day. That was pilot talk when I was soloing. Danny looks stunned. I don't know if they talking to you on the radio. Well, you got to leave one airport before they do that. But when you leave one airfield and head into another, the air traffic controller's happy to get rid of you. He says, frequency change approved, have a good day, and you're gone. So all that stuff in the past, God's given you supernatural means to deal with it, but you have to deal with it. And the bottom line is I get to go, like Philippians 3, Frequency change approved. Have a good day. And I'm flying on. The Philippians 3 I'm referring to is on here for you to read, but you'll remember there's verse after verse after verse where Paul says, I haven't got it all together yet, but I'm leaving that stuff behind. I'm forgetting what's in the past, and I'm pressing on to the... I'm pointing at the pork chops over here. I'm pressing on to what? The mark of the high calling of God in... Yeah, thank you, Christ Jesus. Yes. Okay, good. I got a goal. I'm pressing on to that. No, I'm going to stay here and suffer. Just poor little me, and you know how I was treated? They left me. You know, my biological parents didn't love me. They just dumped me. And on I go, holding my precious and living in that mucky, swampy cave where Golem, whatever his name is, lives. Okay, but I'm holding on to it. But I'm bug-eyed and bald and miserable and living in the dark. Bible says because we don't like the light. So learn to like the light. Learn to hate the dark. What we're some of us are living in this dark and calling it light. It's not. All right. Yeah. When you get time. I got to hit two more points on that. Look at verse 15. This is the cool part. I got to mention this. But how do I know he's my father? Because he says, I've adopted you. So he's your father by adoption. To me, that's the most exciting kind of fatherhood. Because somebody made a choice. Now, people have adopted people and they still haven't been good parents. But the point is, the picture God's giving you here is really cool because who's adopted you? Almighty God. Okay, so you don't have to worry about perfection in this case. What you have to worry about is the other side of the adoption issue. Are you going to accept it? When you grow up, are you going to accept that adopted father and appreciate him and realize the amount of love he has for you? Or are you going to get pificated and pouty and think about somebody who didn't adopt you? One is the flesh, and it is death. The other is the spirit, and it is life. Not only life, but life eternal. It meets the need. I understand it doesn't meet the touchy-feely emotional need of what it would be like if you just had a daddy who would hold you and caress you. But even if you did have that daddy, he's going to grow old. He's not eternal, and you're still going to have to deal with the gift of God. Help us, Lord. So please read Romans 1 through 8 as well sometimes when you have time, because it tells you over and over again, if you're going to live in the flesh, it's death. If you're going to live in the spirit, it's life. And the revelation I think I got from Steve going so excited over the idea of God being my father, I knew that intellectually, amen? I had heard that how many times in the church since Sunday school as a kid? Thousands of times. I accepted it. Somebody got their phone on? I accepted it. That's a snooze. I accepted it, but I wasn't living in it. I wasn't enjoying the fullness of it. Intellectually, I agreed with it. You're a tough one, but that's good. I know that. But some of these folks can't. I don't know which ones they are, but some of them can't. By the way, I know I had more than I had time for today. When Sue looked at the outline, she freaked out this morning. I trimmed it down since then. But I'm going to be here after I finish. And Sue's going to be here. If there's something that you want to connect, some set of dots you want to connect, would you please come find us? This is the biggest thing you could hope for, and you have it. It's not just that I'm saved and I'm looking forward to eternity. It's, wait a minute, I'm adopted by Almighty God, and that's meant to affect me right now. It's meant to set me free right now. I won't need to be set free in heaven. There's no bondage to be set free of in heaven. It's now that we need. It's now that we have bondage. It's now that we have sin. It's now that we have past hurts. It's now that we're depressed. Those things aren't going to be in heaven. So I need this now. This is the time to take to allow God to remedy this with this supernatural, phenomenal, unbelievable, radical thing, gift, concept that He has provided to me. He's also implemented it, He's empowered it, and He says He will sustain it. He will keep you. How many will Jesus lose, Steve? None that the Father has given Him. None. He has a nerve to stay. What was that? John 6, wasn't it? Or 17. He has a nerve to stand right there in John 17 and say, I'm not losing one that's mine. Let's go to 1 John 3. Hold on, Chris. I promise I'll hurry. 1 John 3. Somebody ought to get excited. John was excited even in his old age. While I'm sure being locked up somewhere or chased somewhere. Okay, same kind of issues you and I are having to deal with, and instead he focuses on what? Wow. Wow. What manner, is King James' words, ESV, is what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called the children of God. And then to assure us of that, he goes, and so we are. So you could take that right there and talk to yourself about it 1,000 times tomorrow if you needed to. Thank you, Lord, that you love me so much. You call me your child, and so I am. I don't feel like it. Good. I'm back again, Lord. Thank you that you call me your child, and so I am. I don't feel like it. And so I am, and so I am, and so I am, and so I am. Why are you so repetitious? Aren't the condemning thoughts repetitious? Don't they pour over your mind like a tidal wave? Well, give them a tidal wave back. Come on, guys. Think your thoughts try to overpower you. God's given you a greater power. Turn it loose. Where? In your head. Okay, that's as far as we're going to get. Lord have mercy. It's a seminar. Look, if you begin to implement those things, it's meant to set you free. There's scriptures there to remind you of that. Now, this was a controversial part. We didn't even get to it. It might be just as well. Part D, the view. These are hard. Watch out. It's not your job to judge God. That's a presumptuous sin. It's your job to figure Him out and understand Him, what He's saying. Let's look at Luke 14:26. Somebody got it? Read it real quick. I got children's workers over there getting nervous. Hurry. Okay, I looked up the Greek word there for hate, and it means hate. It means don't love, but it allows for elasticity there. It can also be extended to mean love as much. Obviously, we're supposed to at least honor our parents, amen? And we know Jesus loved His mother by saying what? On the cross, John, that's your mother. And Mary, or mother, that's your son. Okay, so we know he's not telling us to hate our parents. He's telling us in relation to the love we have for God, we would love them less. Not so much that as we would love God more. So if it is a struggle between parent and God, you want to be in a position to choose God. So if my struggle is I was mistreated in this area by my parents and it's really burdened me and it's hurting me, then in that area I have to choose God, which means it's very likely then that I have to forgive them. So that's the view I wanted you to look at. And let's look at section E then. Now all that's left is for you to believe it and do it. On the bottom of the page there's a prayer. You could pray as many times as you want to. But my goal is I want to get up in the morning and I want to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that God is my Heavenly Father. That's met every issue that may come up today, and I want to go forward with that. If it takes me an hour to get psyched up to that, then I want to get up an hour early and get psyched up. Well, Ed, that's just naive. Yes, and it's wonderful. It's such a peaceful place to be. If you go back up to section E above the line, I just gave you some ideas there. You're going to have to know the Word of God if you're going to wash your mind with the Word of God. You need to quit rehearsing the world. Rehearsing the world would be, well, in the case of the example we're talking about today, it's what you call a grievance story. You have your story of how you were mistreated all worked out, very colorful, ready to go, and you're ready to tell anybody over and over and over again. Tell that story to God. Do what you need to do to end that story. You follow? Put that video in the trash. Frequency change approved. I'm having a good day. And move on. You're going to have to give forgiveness. You're going to have to receive forgiveness. You're going to be looking for cleansing. And the process there is you're basically having to reckon yourself crucified with Christ and free from the flesh, because the flesh doesn't want to give this up. To the flesh, it is precious. The reason it's precious is it gives the flesh a reason to successfully rebel against God. I'm not talking about murder or adultery. I'm just talking about just having a bad attitude today. Because after all, we were created for God's glory to glorify God, or to allow Him to glorify Himself in us. All we have to do is be the container or the vessel. Amen? But it's hard to glorify yourself in an ugly-looking vessel that's got a bad attitude. Now, if that's my vessel, and I'm the father of that vessel, then it's incumbent on me to change that vessel's attitude. I can do it through good preaching. Or I can do it through circumstances. Okay? So I would just say, don't argue with God. Don't fight God on this point. Recognize the beauty of Him being your Father. Run there. Agree with that. Grab that. And begin to get rid of anything that talks you out of it. Or that compares His fatherhood to anything you know on this earth about fatherhood. Okay. Lord, thank You. Thank You for these folks. Thank You for their patience. Most of all, thank You for Your Word. And I thank You, boy, as I think of my little story, Lord, I thank You that You are my Father. Minister to everyone here and meet their needs. And we'll look forward to that good report. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.